Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Uplifting Communities Talk Show. I tried to put on the intro music, but for some reason it didn't come on. Well, I see. But anyway, we got a really good show for you guys today. Well, this afternoon or this evening, and we got a lady by the name of Miss Nakia Watts. That's her name. She's an entrepreneur in the Sacramento area, and this lady here know what she's doing. But before I go any farther, I have to introduce you to my host, to the host of Uplifting Community Talk Show, Ms. Tamaya Gaines. And Ms. Tamaya Gaines, if you don't mind, could you please bring Ms. Watts on air with us?
Absolutely, and thanks again for that warm welcome, Mr. Brown. My name is Tamaya Gaines. I am your host of Uplifting Communities Talk Show, and I can hardly believe that this is the last show of 2021 for us. My goodness, where has the year gone? In 2021, I don't know about you guys, but I know we have taken a lot of losses. Lots of people have taken losses, especially in the African American community. We lost a lot of notable greats within our community, and I'd just like to pay homage and name a few. Among that list was best-selling author Eric Jerome Dickey. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. We lost Hank Aaron, Shock G from the group Digital Underground, right there from our San Francisco Bay Area. One of my favorite rappers, DMX, Biz Markie, Mario Van Peebles, Colin Powell, AJ Johnson, the comedian Paul Mooney. Barack Obama lost his step-grandmother. We lost Marvin Hagler, evangelist, pastor Frederick K. Price, Sr. I don't know if there's a junior or senior, but Sr. Mary Wilson of the Supremes, and last but not least amongst this lengthy list was Cicely Tyson. So I just want to pay homage to all of our greats. Thank you for your contribution to our community and our culture. You will greatly, greatly, greatly be missed. Now, our show for this evening. I think Mr. Brown said that the show is going to be electrifying, and I can't wait to get electrocuted. Community talk audience, please help me welcome tonight's guest, Ms. Nakia Watts.
Hello. Thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thanks for joining us. Ms. Watts, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do?
Well, I am Nakia Watts. I am a multi-business owner, and I got started with my businesses because during COVID, I realized I wasn't doing my business correctly. I didn't have them properly set up. So I had to fumble and go back and start at square one and start my businesses over, and I grew a passion for really wanting to help business owners get out here and start their businesses right. So that's where I created Doing Business Right, so that we can make sure that we're doing business right. A lot of us, we have ideas, and we start making money with these ideas and these hobbies, but we don't really have the fundamentals of how to actually run and start a business. Most of them, we just do it on the side while we have a job, and that's exactly what I've done. I started my event company as a hobby on the side. You know, I do a few parties here, make some candy apples, whatever, balloon arches. And then I got serious about it and realized I was doing it all wrong and had to go back and change some things. And then that's what birthed Doing Business Right, is my mistakes and errors. And when forming my first business, it created Doing Business Right, where now I help other business owners take their hustles and form them into legit businesses. That way we can leave legacies for our families instead of, like most of us, we have side hustles, and then when we die, those side hustles die with us.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So I know you're too polite to say it, but for those of you listening, I can only imagine that you came up with the name Doing Business Right because somebody was doing business wrong. So, with that being said,
me,
tell us what is the first step in handling your business or approaching your business the right way?
I always say once you realize that you have a hobby or a side hustle, as we like to say, you're making money in that, you're doing pretty good, and you realize that you have potentials to grow, that's when you really should start to look into legalizing it. Because if you take 10 years to actually legalize your business, they don't go from the date that you said, hey, I started this business back 10 years ago. They're going to go off the date that it was actually listed with the Secretary of State. And I found out that out the hard way, too. I missed out on a couple grants because my business wasn't set up correctly. And I was doing the business for a couple years, but I couldn't prove that I was doing the business. I didn't even have I was making money, but I couldn't even prove that I was making money because I was taking Cash App, I was taking Venmo, and of course, there's no real way to track where that money come from or what it was actually for, where if I had my business properly structured and I had a payment processing system in place, I could have pulled reports and I could have pulled up invoices and showed, hey, I have this business that was started back in 2018, I was making money, I was writing invoices, people was paying them. I didn't have that, so I missed out on a couple grants. Free. Grants are free. Money we don't have to pay back. Missed out on it just because I didn't have the proper things in place. So I say the first thing you do is, you know, you legalize your business at least to get your LLC. And then from there, you know, you decide if you want to do a corporation later, if you're making more money, if you want to go at an S Corp, or if you want to go with nonprofits. But I definitely say at least legalize your business where it's recognized as a business, because side hustles aren't recognized as businesses. You can't go get funding for a side hustle. You can't leave a side hustle to your family. So the first step of legalizing your business is really sitting down with somebody and making sure if forming an LLC, a S Corp, a nonprofit, or a corporation is the best thing for your business. And so that's some of the things that we help you do. And then after we help you do that, we help you build your business plan, because there's so many people out here operating their businesses without a business plan. Why we do it, I really don't know. If you don't plan for your business, then you don't have, it's like, how are you going to get from A to B? That's what your business plan is. How are you getting from A to B? And if you're trying to get funding, they may not say, hey, do you have a business plan in hand? But the questions that they're going to ask you before they will consider funding you will consist of what's in that business plan if you had it. So always start with your business plan. You need to know how you're going to make money, what's your projections for the year, where you plan to be the next 5 years, who your competitors are, what are your competitors doing, and how are they making money? You know, those are things that we need to know. So we need to stop leaving out the business plan, because it's a huge portion of our business that we really need, and it's the tool that's going to help us get from A to B and really be successful. Then after we help you build your business plan, we go into helping you build business credit for your business. Because business credit for your business is like the business credit for your personal. And when your business is actually structured correctly, you're not supposed to commingle your money, which means you're not supposed to be using your personal finances with your business finances. Because one of the big benefits of having an LLC is that your business is protected under the limited liability protection. But if somebody can prove that you're funding your business or you're commingling your money, then they can go after your personal assets as well. And you definitely want to protect those. So if somebody sued your business, you don't want them to come after everything that's in your personal bank account and vice versa. So you want to definitely make sure you have separate bank accounts and you're using different credit cards. And you want those credit cards to belong to your business and not to you personally when you're going to make these purchases. So we really, really emphasize on businesses building business credit for their business. That way they can keep all their funds separate. And if you don't know, all these big businesses out here, they use business credit to scale their business. The things that's in Walmart and Target and all these other big companies, when you walk in those stores, they don't own those products. They got those products on a lease. They got them on credit. And when we go in there, we purchase their products. They take our money, and then they pay for these products, and then they keep their profits. So why can't small businesses do the same thing? We can. We just don't know. We were never taught that. We thought we had to fund our business from our personal bank accounts and drain our bank accounts. So when somebody do need to see how much money we have in our bank accounts, it's dry because we just used it all to start our business. That's not the right way to do it. So we teach you how to do that, to build a business credit. Just like you go in the car lot, they don't own those cars. When you purchase that car, that's when that car get paid for, you know, for the company. So with small businesses, we teach you how to do that. And and just really get out here and really learn how to strive. And then we teach you how, after you build a business credit, how you can use that credit to also create multiple streams of income within your business. One of in doing business right, we also have Airbnbs that we lease out that we don't own the property, but we were able to obtain those leases through our business as a corporate lease. So there's multiple ways that you can create income for your business after you build your business credit. You can buy cars in your business name and post them on Turo. You're basically creating your own rental car company without actually having to own a car lot. You can get vending machines. You can open up salons. There's all type of things that we can do once we establish credit for our business that will actually generate more income into our business. So that's what we're all about. And we also offer insurance. We help business owners set up bonus plans for their selves and employees, because like myself, when I left my job, that left me without retirement plans. That left me without medical benefits. So I have to create those myself. And through what we have, one of our products that we have in our insurance portion of it, that will also allow you to obtain those services that you need. We help with financial planning, income protection plans, retirement plans, estate planning, investment planning, and then we also always looking for people to come join our team. So we offer quite a bit, and we kind of touch on a lot, and we help people just really get out here and make a difference and leave legacies. It's all about leaving a legacy for our family and put the side hustles down, because side hustles don't leave legacies for our family. I can write over any one of my businesses to my children at any time I want to. If I don't have my business structured properly, when I die, my kids probably wouldn't know what to do. They don't know, you know, they wouldn't, if I don't have a business plan, they won't even know how my business operated. They wouldn't know where to start. So we're doing these businesses. We need to start thinking it's beyond us. We're leaving them. We're creating them to leave something for our family so that they could continue on. And when I started my businesses, I said, I want to leave something for my kids. I want to have a legacy when I leave this place. I want to leave me, but I want my name and my businesses to live beyond me. And so that's how I am structuring my businesses. And that's what I'm trying to help other people do, so they kids can go on. And it's not all about the kids working in your business. It's about them being able to run your business, because running your business and working in your business is two separate things. And at first, when we leave our corporate jobs, we leave our corporate jobs to come work in our own business, which is okay, because looking at it now, I'd rather work in my own business than to go work for somebody else. And I'd rather put in 100 hours building my empire than to go put in 40 hours building somebody else's empire. So I take the time and really emphasize and really try. It's a mindset, definitely a mindset, to really try to shift that mindset to see the difference. You know, put in the time that you need to put in to build what you need to build to leave something for your family, and don't leave it to where they have to actually work in it. Leave it to where they can actually pick it up and they can run it and don't actually have to work in it. But that means we have to do the work in it in order to leave it that way for them.
Mm-hmm.
So. Thank you for that explanation. You're welcome.
Yes, that was very powerful. I definitely understand every bit of it. Now, let's say if you don't have your business structured right and you've been having your business for a long time, how that can hurt you? Tell the audience how that can hurt you by not having your business structured right.
Well, if you don't have your business structured right, you're probably not paying taxes. You're not taking out Social Security. And so when it's time to retire or try to pull benefits, or if you get injured and you can't work anymore, how are you going to get paid? Because when you go to work, you know, they're pulling out Social Security. They're pulling out taxes and things like that. They're pulling out Medicare and things. So you're covered when you're working for a company. And that's where we really need to focus in at. We need to make our businesses a company that offer these benefits to us. And as being a business owner, you can create those things within your business. So I really think just not having your business structured properly, you're going to have yourself in a downhill. And like a few people I know, they had, you know, side hustles. It wasn't really side hustles because they were working them as jobs. You know, they didn't go into other businesses and go to work or clock in for anybody else. They were working for themselves, but they didn't have their businesses set up correctly. And when it was time to retire, they had nothing to retire on because they didn't put money up for retirement. They didn't pay taxes because, you know, it's kind of like you work for yourself, you report it if you want to or don't, and, you know, you should, but, you know, most people don't because they don't, there's nobody telling them they have to, and their business isn't on the radar because they don't have it even listed as a business. They're just working and making money. So it's just, I really just think it's a lack of knowledge, and I think it's that we really need to say, okay, even though I don't have to report some of this stuff, I need to report it, or I need to have it set up properly because later on it's going to benefit me. We live in the moment, and we don't really think about, oh, you think, oh, I'm 30 years old. You're not thinking about retirement at 30. A lot of people, they're not. I know when I was 20, I couldn't see 40. And now that I'm 42, I can see way past 65. I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to do, you know? So it's kind of like a brain fog. The younger you are, the less you can see into the future, so you don't really plan for the future. To where once you actually get turn 40, you're looking at, oh, crap, I didn't save anything in retirement. I worked child care all, you know, for 20 years. I've done in-home child care. I got paid well, but I didn't save anything. Now you have a back injury and you can't work. How are you getting disability? How is any of those things going to come to you if you didn't put out towards them? So starting out when you start these businesses, we need to also have a funding pot for retirement. We need to, and that's what we also do in our funding. We show you how to create accounts that's safe that you can use later as retirement, that you can use later for living benefits. And a lot of people don't know with insurance, the new insurance, we have a portion of it where you, it's living benefits, and you can use those while you're living. So I'm really into teaching people about that because I really think it's something that we need to get into, because a lot of people think of insurance as insurance you can only use when you die. Well, that's not the case anymore with the new ones that we offer. You put into it and you can use it as a retirement plan. You can use it as a critical illness plan and all different types of things that you can use it for, opposed to just waiting till you die. And I know a lot of people, they usually just get the minimum on life insurance, you know, just, hey, this is enough to bury me. But the wealthy really use those life insurance policies to create wealth for their family. You know, everybody, we're all going to exit here one day or the other. Just don't know the day and the time. We're all going to exit. If I got to exit, I want to leave my family set up pretty nice to where they don't have to stress and worry. Why not? Why not benefit if I leave this world? Leave you guys set up straight. And that's my mentality around leaving my family. Right now is just all about making sure my family is set up properly if I was not here to help take care of them, because they're my main priority. So setting up our businesses in the right way, it needs to be a priority, because when we don't, we're doing ourselves a disservice and we're doing our family a disservice. Because if your kid try to go draw, if you have minor kids and something happened to you and you had your business all 20, 30 years, but you never put anything towards it, they're not going to get Social Security on that, because there's none. To where if you have a job, you know, your kids, if you have minor kids, at least they can draw Social Security. And, you know, the next family member can have some help with taking care of them. So there's just things like that in business that I think we really, really, really need to dig into and see where we need to do the work at, where we really need to start investing money. And we have to invest money in our business. And I think that's where a lot of the problems come from. We want to keep every dollar that we make. We can't keep every dollar that we make. We have to reinvest that money to keep making money. You need to put that money somewhere where it's going to grow. You need to put that money somewhere where it's going to be for a rainy day and stop living in your business paycheck to paycheck, because that's what we tend to do, you know, because we're scared to let go of the dollar that we're making.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. I have a story. One of my cousins, he drive trucks, the small trucks, mm-hmm. and he would pick up different products and to different places, you know, and then he'd go drop them off at the stores, and he was making a good living, you know. I'm talking about a real mm-hmm. good living. And then all of a sudden, you know, he got sick. He got sick. He couldn't draw Social Security. He couldn't your Social Security. He couldn't draw Social Security disability. That's what I'm talking about. He couldn't draw none of that. And the reason for that is because he didn't put nothing in. Then he happened to pass away. He didn't have no insurance. He didn't have nothing. You understand? So the family had to do a lot to try to bury him. So what your program, I think, is pretty doggone good. Now, tell us some of the struggles you had trying to, you know, when you was getting your business straightened. You know, some of the struggles people might have to go through.
Oh, there's a lot of struggles in business. There is a lot. And a lot of it boils down to knowledge and mindset. Like when I first started my first business, it was parties. I liked doing parties. I've always done them for my kids. And I just kind of got out here winging it. Didn't really know what I was doing, wasn't really making much money. Actually, my first party, I actually ended up paying for it because I gave her a price and didn't really know how to price it. And once I, because, you know, when I did my kids' party, it was kind of like, oh, pick up stuff here and there. Didn't really pay attention to how much I was spending. So my first party that I actually done for a client, I came a lot out of pocket for it, and I wasn't happy at the end. I was like, oh, well, I basically paid for her party because I didn't know how to price it. I didn't do the research that needed to be done. I didn't get the support that I needed to get, you know. So after that, I hired a business coach, and she was actually in the event industry, and she helped me a lot. And even with her, she tried to give me some suggestions. I didn't really follow her direction at first because, you know, I have my own mind and I want to think how I want to think, and we think we know everything, you know, for our business. And I was the Googler. I wanted to YouTube everything. Why should I pay people for what is free information? So I thought. And that's funny that I say that because now I will pay people for information in a heartbeat to save me the time and the errors. So, yeah, it took me a long time to even adjust after I did invest in a coach to actually really invest in my business, because I even told her, I said, and she asked me about credit for my business. I said, I don't need credit for my business. I'm going to fund my business when my clients pay me. Well, that worked for a little while, but it worked very slowly because I'm waiting for payments to come through in order to finish the project, opposed to being able to just go get everything I need to get done and then, you know, let the client pay me as a profit. I was waiting to be paid in order to even get the job done. So in the beginning, it was really hard for me. It was hard for me to adjust to understanding that if I don't invest in my business wasn't going to grow the way that it needed to grow. And if you don't invest in your business, people can see that. They can see where you're lagging at, and then people are less likely to invest in you. When I started investing in my business scaled, my parties looked better, I was able to get better quality materials, and I was able to put on a better event. So I was able to charge more for what I was giving, which gave me a bigger profit and made me want to do it more, which means I was able to invest more. But my whole thing, my struggle was actually just really investing because I felt like everything that you could tell me, even though you've done it, you've been through it, yeah, you can tell me that and charge me a price, but I felt like that same information was going to be on Google and on YouTube, and I had hours to watch it. In reality, when you pay for stuff, something, whether you're going to pay for it in cash, or you're going to pay for it in time, or you're going to pay for it in friendship or relationship. And at this point where I'm at now, I've seen what investing in my business can do, so I will pay you in a heartbeat. If you are doing something and I want to know how to do it, and you have a program that can show me how, I'm like, what do I need to do to get in your program to learn how to do that? I need the information. Because you can take maybe 5-6 hours, run it down to me, show me how I need to do what I need to do, opposed to me spending 100 hours trying to figure it out on Google and YouTube, because those places are so saturated with information, you have to kind of cipher what you need, what you don't. A lot of it's outdated. And on those sites, they really don't give you everything that you need. They give you enough to get started. And that's what I'm finding with the business credit. I have clients go, oh, well, I can Google that. Go ahead. They Google it, but they come back because online they only give you so much information. There is information that people actually research. We call these companies. We talk to the companies on a regular. We stay updated on who's doing what, what's required, where Google don't really have the inside information. They're not calling these people. It's just random people posting different things on there about, you know, different areas and what they're requiring. And everybody tells you, you know, even on the free Facebook group. And the free Facebook groups, I have one. And I'm going to tell you, those groups are great to get you started. But everybody that have a Facebook group and they have a paid program, they're only giving you enough information on those free groups to get you interested. And once you get interested, you're going to have to pay for what you really want. So instead of going to find 10 Facebook groups, that's like if you're trying to start business credit and you go into 10 Facebook groups to get information, you're really not going to get all the information that you need to get to from A to Z, because they have a paid program that they want you to jump in probably at point C. So they're going to get you started, but you're going to get stuck at C, because now you need to go back and say, hey, I'm stuck and I can't move forward. What do I need to do? And then they're going to tell you, oh, well, we have a program. We will take you from C to Z now. So now you spent 6 months playing around in the free groups, and you could have just paid for the program in the beginning and been done within 6 months. So that's what I've learned in business. If it's something that I'm really passionate about, something I want to know, I would just go find somebody that's doing really well in that area. And if they have a program, I'll hop in a program in a heartbeat. Because it's just, I really just look at it as investing in my business. And what I spend on my business, you just go calculate it back. What do I need to do in my business to make this money? What's my return on this investment? How long will it take me to make an investment on this business? You know, so everything is not worth paying for, and I understand that. But you just got to kind of think about it. Is it worth it opposed to the time that I would spend trying to figure it out myself? Like, I'm not tech savvy. Me and the computer, we don't get along. So, and I struggled with it for a long time. I try to figure it out. But my best bet is, instead of spending all day trying to make my website, how about I pay somebody to make my website? Now I have a nice website people can go to. It makes money for me, opposed to me sitting there having this half-part website because I don't know what I'm doing. So it's just all about mindset. I think reading, getting into finding groups and finding people that's really inspirational, because I'm going to tell you, family and your friends don't want to hear about your business every day. They just don't, and no pun to them, don't charge it to their heart. They just, people that's not in business don't want to talk about your business all day. So you have to find people that's doing business to actually talk about business to all day, because that's all I really talk about. I talk everything, all my subjects is business. Business. When I get with my family, I already know that's not going to be the main topic, because they don't run businesses, and I've tried to get them to. They're not interested, and that's okay. So they don't want to hear me talk about business all day. Don't get upset about that. Just know you need to a couple business besties that you can talk to, you can run ideas with, and be open to other people's opinion, because we're actually serving. In your business, you're serving people. No matter what business you have, whether it's a product base or a service base, you are serving the community. You need to know what they like, how they like it, because if you have a product or a service they don't like, nobody's going to buy it. You know, so their opinion does matter. So you need to be pleasant, and people like people, and go out and ask questions. I always post a lot of questions. What do you guys like? And if I'm trying to decide between yellow and blue, I'll post, hey, you guys, what do you think will look better on this, yellow or blue? I get their insight and see what they say, you know. I involve my audience. I involve my people. It's just really about wanting to serve people. We make money in our businesses, and that's great, but that cannot be the only reason that you're in business. If the only reason you're in business is to make money, then you're not going to go far. You have to have a passion about what you're doing. You have to have a passion for wanting to help people. And with every business that I do, I help people. In doing business right, I help people get their businesses legalized, get their businesses structured properly, help them build business credit, because it's going to help them succeed in their businesses. And with my events, I always do my events because I wanted to sprinkle happiness. I wanted to have people happy, have their events nice, have their events talked about throughout the year. So it's bringing that joy to them. And with life insurance, we all need it. It's like the smallest policy lights my heart up, because I know I helped somebody get covered, and now their family don't have to do a GoFundMe or cook a dinner or do a car wash. It really breaks my heart to drive down the street and see all these people out here holding signs because they need help with burial, because the lack of knowledge, or is it just that there's nobody telling them, hey, we can help you, or this is available to you? And I really think it's just the lack of knowledge, because we can't teach people, or we can't teach our kids what we don't know. And that's what I've been saying. I only can teach my kids what I was taught. you know, and from generation to generation, we learn a little bit more than our parents. I know what my parents taught me, and then, you know, we're going to learn a little bit more. And then so
okay,
I was able to teach my kids.
I need to break in right quick.
Okay,
and make this announcement. Okay, you are listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show, and our special guest is Miss Nakia Watts. Okay, and the host is Tamaya Gaines and John L. Brown. Okay, and if you guys want to ask a question or elaborate on something, please press 1, and I would let you in. Okay, Miss Watts, you can go ahead on and continue.
Okay. But I was just saying, we can't teach what we don't know. So, for my kids, I was only able to teach them what I knew, which was what my parents taught me, plus a little bit more. Because, you know, each generation, we learn a little bit more than what the last generation, you know, taught us. And
right.
Once I really got into finances, I have never had to sit down and had a conversation with my kids about retirement. Never. Until the last couple months ago, I sat down with my son and we talked about retirement. And that was an accomplishment for me because we have 2 sisters that's older than him. And we've never talked about retirement because it wasn't something that we talk about. But now that I'm doing all this, this is information that I have that I want to share with my kids. So now they're getting this information in their 20s. So hopefully when they have kids, they can go back and say, my mama taught me about this. So now I'm going to teach my kids because now they have the knowledge to do it where I didn't have that knowledge. You know, so it's all about getting the knowledge
so
that we can keep passing it.
I'm sorry. I have a question. And thanks for that detailed explanation. I am self-employed. And as a self-employed individual, even before I decided to venture off into self-employment, I was faced with I was in a position where I needed to make money. But I needed money in order to make money, to get started. So what is your suggestion for people who have a passion for something? They want to start some sort of business that they're passionate about. They want to venture off into self-employment, but they need money to make money. But, you know what I mean? They're just kind of stuck in that in-between phase. What do you have for those people?
For those people, find somebody that's doing what you like, because everything that we have, we can package it up to sell it. You can sell your knowledge. So if you don't have a product and you have knowledge about something, you know how to do things, find a way. Make an ebook. Do master classes. Those are free to you. You can, you know, put on classes. You got to get out. You got to talk. You got to meet people. You got to get them interested in what you're doing. Because that's they're going to buy you before they buy your product or your service. So if they don't like you or you don't come off as a people person, then you're going to push people out. So if you have something that you want, I started my first business with the parties doing candy apples. I didn't have money to start a business either. I started selling candy apples for $2 each. People started buying those. I was like, oh, okay, I can keep doing this. And with that money, I was able to build my business. And those $2 candy apples now cost $10. Because I was able to perfect my craft, they look so much nicer. They're pretty. They're, you know, people want to see them on their dessert boards at their parties and things like that. And now I don't even do them for a candy apple for one. You have to buy a minimum of a dozen even before I will make one. And normally that's if I know you. Outside of that, you have to order a full dessert bar. So there's just what is your business?
I'm actually a real estate broker.
Okay. Well, real estate broker, you have information. You can do classes, ebooks on how you can get people ready to buy houses. What do they need to do to get ready to come into the market? For people like me, I'm looking to buy a house, but there's so much I don't know. What, you know, you can be like, okay, I'm having a webinar and I'm teaching people that's ready to buy a house in 2022, what you need to do to get started. There you go.
Gotcha. Thank you for that.
Take an hour or two of your time to teach and do it in a group session. Do a webinar, have them register, pick your price, wherever price point you think your time is valuable at, and where you think your information is valuable at, because people will pay for what the information that they really need. And like me, I don't know the first steps of going to buy a house. It's like, okay, I know I want to buy a house. I know I need a certain credit score, but where do I start? I don't really know because that's not what I specialize in. So I'm going to have to go find somebody that know how to do that. And so if I see, oh, she has a class that's going to show me how I can start the home buying process, that's something I might be interested in. And there you go, making your money right there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Brown?
Yeah. What about, you know, let's say if you got a client, you know, really ready to get started. They're ready to get started. Okay, but like she said, they don't have that much money. What can you offer them to help them get their business, you know, ready? They're ready to get started right now.
If they are ready to get started right now, and they don't have no money, that is
but
very hard.
They got limited money.
They have limited money. They need to make a list. I was told to make a list of top 25. What's important on your priorities? After you pay your rent, you know, the things that you have to pay, what do you have left over? What are you doing with what's left over? And then you got to start marking off the list. What is not a priority? What is more important to you? Then you got to look at your return on investment. How quick, okay, if you invest in this program that costs $1,000 and you only got about $1,500, so that's going to take $1,000 of that, how long will it take you to make your money back? What are some things that you can do to make money? And that's where you just really got to start digging in. And like I told her, before you actually, you know, go big in your business or do whatever it is, there's something in your business. If you cook, say you cook, you don't have a bunch of money, but you want to get your business going, do cook sales. Create the money. Find where there are so many ways to create money, and COVID proved that for a lot of people. People will buy. You don't have to be licensed for people to buy your food. If your food looks good and it tastes good, they're going to keep coming back. So if you're trying to get your restaurant open and you don't have the money, or you're trying to get your business, yeah, I don't have my license yet. I'm doing a sale to get my license. There are so many people out here willing to help people. You can say, I'm trying to get my shop going. I'm doing braiding hair this weekend. Put up sales. There's so many ways that you can make money what you're doing already. To actually legalize your business. Because in the beginning, when you don't have money, obviously you can't go do some of the things you want to do, but you still have the talent or the knowledge that you can sell to make the money that you can put towards doing what you want to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, I want to go ask you another question right quick. You was talking earlier about when, let's say, your company help people get businesses within their
uh-huh.
business. Okay, yeah. Like Airbnb. And then you mentioned some other businesses that they can do. What is those businesses again? And explain to the audience, you know, on how you would help them get these businesses.
Uh-huh.
You know, I know you can't go into details, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
just give them something.
Okay. Now, with the Airbnbs, you want to rent those, you want to lease those in your company's name as
a rental.
Could
you explain what Airbnb is to them? Because a lot of people never heard of it before.
Oh, okay. An Airbnb is where you can have a property listed on a platform and you pay people to stay there. So instead of them coming in, like how mine's, I'll give you an example how mine is. Mine is for traveling professionals. So I rent my units out to traveling nurses. They come into Sacramento for 13-week assignment from wherever they come from. They need places to stay. Well, the thing is, a lot of them don't like to stay in hotels, so they want to stay in an apartment or a house, but they really don't want to stay with people either. They don't want to have a room in your place. So if you own your property, then you can do it that way. But if you don't, you will want to get it in your business name. That way you can have it as a corporate lease and have your business to where it offers that. So I have a business on the side of Doing Business Right, is Doing Business Right Housing, and is geared towards traveling nursing professionals. So they can look me up and they can see if I have an apartment available. They could come out and rent that apartment. So that's how that portion works. I don't necessarily do the Airbnb portion, which you can, But you still have need to make sure that your business is structured that way. You can't just go say, hey, I want an apartment and I'm going to put it on Airbnb because subletting is illegal. So you can't do that. You need to make sure that your business is properly structured, that you built the business credit, and you meet the requirements that the apartment complex is requiring. So, but that comes later. That's not something you can just jump into today and it's going to happen, because you need to actually have a business that offer that. You can't just make it up today and say, this is what I'm doing. So that's what we offer at the end of our program, is after you've structured your business, you built your business credit, you got a business plan, now you want to start making extra money in your business with another stream of income. That's what we go into. We show you how to make money after you built business credit because you needed to start it. And then the same thing with Toro, you go buy a car in your company's name, then you list it on these platforms, and you basically let other people pay for what you're doing, pay for your apartment, pay for the car, post it on there. They go on the sites, they pay for it. Just like when people go out of town, they rent a rental car. Instead of going to the rental car company, they look on Toro. Oh, well, Nakia has a car on Toro. They contact you. They rent your car for however long they need to rent your car, just like the rental car company. And so that's another way that you can make income. You charge, you know, what you want to charge. And with the Airbnbs, a lot of people like those because they have the whole unit. They have, we call them units. They have the whole apartment or the whole house. They don't have to share it with people. We furnish it from top to bottom. They come in, they stay there, they do their contract, and they go home. So we teach you how to actually do things like that, how to make money and using other people's money is how we like to say it. Make money using other people's money, because we don't own the properties. You don't have to own the properties to do it if you do it the right way. You cannot go in there and say, hey, me as Nakia want to rent this property, and I'm going to rent it out to some travel nurses. They're not going to allow that. Now, me as going in there as a representative of doing business right, because that's how our contract is rolled up, the apartment is leased to my business, and I'm a representative of my business. That's how our contract is rolled out. The apartment is in my business name. So if for whatever reason my business went bankrupt, that wouldn't fall on my Social Security number. It would fall on my business's EIN.
Right. Okay.
But I'm still making money. Huh?
Right. So, like, for the audience to know, let's say if they would get into your program, okay, you can get them, like, after they finish your program and business credits and things of that nature, well, then you can get them, you know, help them with other streams of income.
Yes, we can help them. And it's up to them to do the work. And that's why I can guarantee you I will give you the knowledge that I have and the how-to, but it's up to them to do the work to get it done.
Right.
It's 100% right. Up to them to do work. I can show you how I've done what I've done and how you can do it, but it's up to them to do the footwork and actually do it. Because if they're in my program and they're not working, they're not following the strategies, and they're not, you know, doing what they're supposed to do, that don't fall on me, that falls on them. So
how long is your program?
We are changing our program for January. It will be an 8-month program. And currently right now, it didn't have a limit. And I felt like not having a limit didn't push people. So they felt like they didn't have a time frame, so they kind of spread out things. You know, they have, you know, some people, they have the money, oh, I'm going to pay it. And I did take payments, so they'd be like, oh, it's payments, I can pay it over time. They get in the program, and they didn't make it a priority because they have time. They have time to do it. So now I feel like if I'm limiting them to a time frame, they would be more pressed to get things done in a timely manner to move forward.
So we're
restructuring the program for the 2022, because we are going to add on how to create multiple streams of income within your business after building business credit. And that wasn't originally a portion of what we've done. It used to be like a 4-week 101, and then after the 4-week 101, we went into you go on this private Facebook group where we do the lives, and you have some updated information, and I show you which vendors to shop with and what to do, but you kind of done it on your own pace. I'm going from doing it at your own pace to doing it at a structured time frame.
Okay.
So every week they will have something else that they need to be doing. They'll have homework assignments, because I want to go more towards telling it, get away from telling them what to do and how to do it, I want to go towards actually showing them how to do it and having them be accountable for it. So there'll be like little quizzes and things like that that they'll need to answer. It's all still going to be up to them to do it because we're all adults, so I can't force you to do it. But it's going to be to your benefit if you go do the little quizzes, because it's really going to be about if you're retaining the information that I'm giving you or if you're just doing what I'm telling you to do for the moment. Because the way my program is set up, I don't want to tell you how to structure your business for this business, and then, oh, in 2 years you want to start another business and you don't know how. You got to come back to me. That's not, I mean, repeat customers are great, but that's not what kind of repeat customers I want. I want customers that's going to come back for something different. I don't want you to come back for the same thing you was here for 2 years ago because you didn't pay attention or you didn't retain it because I just walked you through everything and you just done. You clicked A because I said click A. You clicked B because I said click B. I want you to actually learn what I'm teaching you. So if you need to go create business number two, you know how to create business number two.
Right. Now, okay, now, let's say doing business right, LLC, okay, that's mm-hmm. your program. Now, once they finish your program, do you guys give them certificates or acknowledge that they finished your program doing business?
The way that it is right now, we didn't, but that is going to be one of the new features in this program. They will get a certificate of completion. And we're moving away from the Facebook group, private Facebook group, and we're going actually into a client portal.
What's the client
portal? So it's going to be where they'll have their own portal, where they'll have their own homework assignments in there, their own material in there, and they can go and backtrack every step that we've done, opposed to how right now it's just a Facebook group, but it's private for only paid clients. So they're all in there together, and they can look and see what I post in there. They can jump in when I do a live. They can – and on the lives in there, they can't really ask questions unless they put it in the chat. Where this one, we would do live Zoom meetings once a week, and they can log on the Zoom, and they can actually ask questions, and I can answer them for them on a live. There'll be pre-recorded videos in there. I'm having experts from a tax expert come in and a business coach come in, where she's going to show them, and that's what I'm coming to find out too. A lot of people that even take my program, they're taking my program because they can't get personal credit. So they say, ooh, business credit. Let's go get credit in my business, because they can't get things in their personal credit. But what happens when they do that, they just tend to do the same thing with their business credit that they deal with their personal credit. So I want to educate them. Opposed to just saying, here, this is how you get it, and this is what you need to do. Because if you treat your business credit bad, then you're going to have bad business credit, and then you'll probably have bad personal credit. A lot of people just used it because they couldn't get business personal credit, but their businesses wasn't even making money, so they couldn't even really do the program. So before they even really get started in the program, I want to have somebody come in and show them how they can package up their offers. Just like you said, when you start these businesses, we have these ideas, but we don't really have money to start them. There's ways you can start them, and that's how I got started with this business. And my coach, she showed me how to make money doing this. And that's what she's going to come in and do. And it's going to be free to the people in my group, because that's, you know, she's going to come in and show everybody in there how you can make money with what you have already without trying to figure out, you know, oh, my God, I don't have money, because that's where a lot of people get stuck at, is they don't have money. So we're gonna nip that in the bud in the beginning. We're going to show you how to make money and what you got. And it's
okay,
just going to be up to
them
to follow the directions.
Okay, now, like I told you earlier, Uplifting Communities Talk Show, we have people listening in throughout the United States, and maybe they might have a few people listening in overseas. I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know you based in Sacramento, California.
Yes.
Now, do you guys help people get started, help people with their businesses other places besides California, other states?
Yes. The Zoom world has opened up to everybody. So I do have an office here in Sacramento, but a lot of the things that we do is on Zoom, online, on telephone. So anybody can open a business up from anywhere. So you don't have to be in the same city or the same state to do it. And a lot of the things that we do, almost everything that we do, besides only part that I can't do is service somebody in another state that I'm not licensed in is for insurance. But that's an easy fix, because if a couple of people say, hey, I want insurance and I'm in another state, all I got to do is go get that license in another state. Right now I'm currently licensed in California and North Dakota. But if you need insurance in another state, it's easy for me to go get the requirements that's needed.
Okay.
We service everybody.
What I'm talking about, let's say if someone wanted to join your program to learn how to actually run a business right.
Yeah. Yep, they can join because right now I would like to move it to in-person, but it's not a demand for in-person. A lot of people, they want to stay where they can be at home and do it on their own time. So everything is online, at home, or wherever you want to be. So everything that you can do it from home or wherever, from wherever. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So like the first week of the business credit program, it was structured to where we talk about restricted business names because a lot of people don't know there's business names that will get red flagged. Like if you have finances, if you have credit, like a lot of credit repair companies came up the past year or so. You can't have credit repair in your business name, or when you go to try getting funding, they're going to start blocking you. Even if you event planning is on the high-risk list now, just because with COVID, all those event companies had to shut down. So a lot of people don't want to lend to them. So we teach you how to go around creating your business without putting these names in there with people. The thing is to hide your name. When they get your application, you don't want to have credit repair on the top of your application because they're going to automatically deny you. So we teach them about
what do you mean?
There's a thing called restricted names. They're red flag names. So a lot of lenders don't want to lend to certain business groups or industries. So you don't want to put credit repair on your – you don't want to have credit repair in your business name because when you put – Nakia's credit repair and I'm applying for a loan or a grant or whatever, well, not so much the grants, but when you go to apply for these loans and these credit cards, they're going to deny you because your business is considered high risk. They have risk factors.
Oh, because you didn't hire a credit repair company to repair your business.
Nope. Most things with finances, they're going to have under the high-risk industry. And like if you have events in your name, because with COVID, a lot of events closed down. They lost money. They went bankruptcy. They don't feel like it's a safe industry to loan to. So anything that they don't feel like is safe to loan to, they won't. So we try to have you hide your name in maybe enterprise or something that's vague. Like doing business right is vague. They don't really know what I'm doing. They can't say, this is what she do. I mean, if they do enough research, they can figure it out. But you don't want to have your application as soon as they see it. You don't want them to deny it.
Okay, I see. So, in other words, what you want to limit, what you put on your your business name, under your business name,
yes.
The LLC. So, in other words,
yes.
Let's say if you had a credit repair company to repair some of your credit, you don't want to put that down there.
I have a credit repair company.
Not a credit repair company to repair your credit, but not
It don't matter if they repaired my credit, but as a business, you don't want to have that as the name of your business.
A credit repair company? Let's say if you had a credit repair company.
Uh-huh.
Let's say, like, for example, Lionel's Credit Repair. So you wouldn't put that down? You wouldn't do a business like that?
Nope. I would do Lionel's Enterprises, and then I'll do a doing business as with the credit repair because you're gonna start running into roadblocks because of that credit repair industry is going to be in a high-risk industry code.
Okay. Now I get you.
Let me see. Like transportation, real estate, credit repair, insurance, financial services, construction, and retail. Those are some of the high-risk industries. So if your business name have those names in it, then you're telling them what you're doing, and you have a higher chance of getting denied for things.
Okay.
To where you can do education, management, administrative, you can do support. You want to be vague with your name That way you're kind of hiding, and then you can always do a doing business as under your LLC. But when you go apply for funding, you would use your LLC, which is vague.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. All right, well, Tamaya, anything else that you want to ask?
No, I don't have anything else. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, Ms. Nakia, if there's anything positive that you want to leave with the audience, go ahead on and let the audience know. Anything positive. And also how they can get in contact with you.
Okay. Well, on the positive note, you guys, in all things that you do, just keep God at the forefront. Pray about your business. Invite God into your business. And that's where we don't do a lot of times. We pray and we ask God to help us in a lot of things that we do, but we don't really invite him in. Invite him in, and that's what I had to do. I gave it to God and show me what you want me to do with my business, and that way I can do the service that you are asking me to do. So invite God into what we're doing and find a way that you can really help people. Money will come. And I know a lot of us, we start our businesses for the income portion of it, but really find a way that you can help people and that you can give back to people and that you're really of a service to people, because when you become a service of people, then that's when the rest will follow. We got to kind of put the income to the side and just let it come as it come and focus on really being a service to the people and how we can help people. If you have a business and you don't really know how you're helping people, then go back and say, what am I doing this for? What is the benefit that the community is getting? How am I helping people? So that's just what I say, because I think that's what really shifted a lot of things for me. In the beginning, it was all about how much money can I make. And when I stopped worrying about the money and I started worrying about really helping people, that's when it really shifted for me. So I think that's very important for a lot of people to start off with, is keeping God first, because that's where all blessings come from. And helping people, really being genuine about your business and passionate about helping people. And if if you're trying to get in contact with me, you can reach me at 916-378-6246 or info@doingbusinessright.com.
Oh, so is that, say that again, they can reach you at doingbusinessright.com?
Nope, actually I said that wrong too. It's info@doingbizright.com. Is info@doingbizright.com.
Okay. Okay. I hope everybody got that, you know. And anything you want to say to Maya, because we're fixing to close the show?
Thank you, Ms. Watts, for joining us. This episode was information packed. It was a lot to digest and take in, but thanks for everything and best of wishes to you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, yeah. So everybody, if you guys want to know more about Ms. Nakia Watts' program and how to make money and things of that nature, you know, you guys have a phone number. She mentioned a phone number, which she's going to mention it again in a few seconds. Okay, so if you can give that number one more time, Ms. Nakia, and tell them where they can reach you at one more time.
You can reach me at 916-378-6246 or info@doingbizright.com.
All right. And with that said, you guys, y'all have a beautiful day. And go out there and enjoy yourself. Enjoy the rest of 2021. Okay,
21.
God bless y'all, and y'all take it easy out there. 2021. That's what I said, right?
Yep. All right.
All right, then, y'all.
Bye, you guys.
Good night.